have celebrated the birth of Jesus. It's a very significant time, and it's a joyful time, and hopefully you had a great morning opening presents and enjoying festivities, but also remembering the central truth that this is about remembering Jesus' birth for us. And it's my job today to bring us back to that event and to take time out from all the festivities, the presents, the Christmas lunch, and all of the fun with families to center ourselves on the importance of that event and the person behind the event. Not because those things are bad. I'm looking forward to Christmas lunch myself and time with family, just in order to remember the real reason behind the whole celebration in the first place, of course. So why do so many people today and through time find it so significant? And if you want a single sentence, this is my sentence, you might have other things that you want to include. It's because in Jesus' birth, we believe God has come among us. And that's just an amazing thought when you think about it. Emmanuel, which means God with us, is on the wall behind me, because that's such a stirring truth that God should reach in to our world with good news of great joy for all people who will hear it. If we survey some of the titles, so what I'm doing this morning is I'm just going to run through titles. That's what I'm doing in this talk. Looking at who Jesus is by looking at the titles used in the passages that we looked at. If we go to Isaiah 9, you get these titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The same passage says that of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. It's a really awe-inspiring kind of list of titles and expression of his greatness. The sphere of his influence speaks of powerful authority and the ability to bring peace, which in the world that we have today, as we watch the news, look at Ukraine, look at Gaza, you long for the Prince of Peace to step in, don't you, and to bring his peace into effect. Of course, Mighty God is one title that makes the assertion really clear who Jesus is, that it is God who has come amongst us. That's really central truth, isn't it? But the nature of Jesus' purpose is there in those titles too. Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor. These are good things that speak at least partway to the depths of his wonderful character and in his intent in coming into the world, which is a wonderful thing. Swap over to our passage from Matthew's Gospel, and you hear the narrative about how Jesus' birth happened. And once again, there are more titles given there. There we're told that Mary is to name her child Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And of course, Jesus' name means the Lord saves. That's what his name means. And Jesus is also called Messiah, which is a special kingly title. He's God's promised king. So you get these great titles for this birth of Jesus as a baby. He's called Emmanuel, which I already said means God with us. And the Bible makes this claim that Jesus is God come to earth in really upfront ways. Doesn't beat around the bush, goes straight for it. This is God come to earth. God has stepped right into history because God cares about people and your situation and your life. And I've always loved the verses that Jeff read this morning from John 1 because they say such profound things about who Jesus is in quite unique ways. John calls Jesus the true light. It's a wonderful way of describing his light. You know, you don't want to stumble around in the darkness, do you? You want light that opens the way and shows you truths. And that's Jesus. And he's called the Word. And he's looking beyond the mere appearances. He's God's Word to us. He's looking beyond appearances to who Jesus is underneath what you see in the manger. And there's something of light and radiance and magnificence and authority and power and goodness. And it's all there in that package with Jesus. John says amazing things about what Jesus came to do as well. He says that the true light, Jesus, came into the world, but that his own didn't recognize him. They didn't receive him. But he also says that Jesus gave to all who did receive him the right to become children of God. Not by human means, but by a spiritual birth born of God. That's a wonderful thing that Jesus came to do, to include people in the children of God. It's a wonderful truth about what he came to do. So Jesus came into the world to bring people into the family of God as they receive him. So how we receive him is, of course, really important. John says more amazing things about how Jesus brings God's presence to us. He says the Word became flesh, that is, Jesus became human as well as being God. And John says that Jesus dwelt among us. And Christians have noticed that the word that he uses there for dwell is the old-fashioned word for tabernacling. It's when God dwelt in the tent amongst his people in the Old Testament times. And what John's saying is that God that dwelt in the middle of the people of Israel, in the tent of the tabernacle, is Jesus come to earth for us. And then John says something that's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says something really rather special about who Jesus is. Because he says, we have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. You know, in the Old Testament times, you didn't see God and live. And so John's saying, We saw God. We saw the glory of the one and only who came from the Father full of grace and truth. It's really special. It's heady stuff when you think of it like that. But of course, Jesus didn't seem very impressive, did he? He was a baby in a manger in very humble circumstances. It's so incomprehensible that this is the person that we're talking about, and that this is God. And yet Christians celebrate this great truth that this is who Jesus is. He is greatness and goodness, all in this package, come for us out of great love from the Father. As I stand and talk here today, the reach of Jesus' kingdom authority has reached hearts and lives all over the world and all through time. His kingdom power really has stretched out. And all of that is right there in the wings at that first Christmas. You know, even as I say all of this, I was thinking it's possible that some here might find it hard to take all that in and to take it on board. Because it does sound like the strangest thing, doesn't it? It sounds very odd. It might be really strange to think about a virgin birth, stars in the sky leading people, angels, supernatural occurrences, maybe even talking about God is a strange thing. There are so many great questions that would be great to explore and follow and have conversations about. And so I thought about that as I was coming here today, and I thought, I don't want to leave those questions unanswered if anyone's got those. And I thought, what can I put before people? And so as a gift for you this morning, for any that might want to take it away, I've got a short little book. I think there should be another slide with a picture of it that will hopefully be in the foyer. Actually, it might be in my bag still. Let me just check. Yes, they are. Soon they will be in the foyer. They're that big. I read it through really quickly. 69 pages. And the book is Christmas Unbelievable? And it answers a whole lot some of those questions that you might have. And if anyone's got any of those sort of questions hanging around as they come to Christmas, I want you to get behind those questions so that you can really appreciate just how precious and special Christmas is. I want to bring your attention to one quote in that book. It's by a lady called Rebecca McLaughlin, and she quotes a guy called Glenn Scrivener. And he makes this really interesting statement. He says, everybody has a faith position and everybody believes in a miracle. Really interesting statement. Christians believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. Atheists believe in the virgin birth of the universe. Choose your miracle. And that just put before me, well, it's a faith position you have to take whichever way you go. What I would love you to do is to have a faith encounter with the God who is behind sending Jesus at Christmas, because then Christmas will be revolutionized for you. There's also a DVD in the foyer called The Case for Christ. Also helps with the historicity of Jesus. Just want to back up as many ways as I possibly can to say that Christmas and Jesus is really worth taking seriously. It's really, really that important. The very best reasons to celebrate Christmas are found in knowing Jesus and knowing him for yourself. The baby that was in the manger became the man who died for the sins of the world, and because of Jesus' death for sinners, peace with God is made possible. And what looked like the end was the most unimaginable transformation of history and indeed of creation, because we look forward to all of creation being transformed. I don't want you to miss out on that. In a while, I'm going to pray, but then I had this other thought too, that I'd like to give you some contemplative space before I pray. So I've got this little video that I want to run. It runs only for 2 minutes. I'm going to leave you alone in your thoughts to think about who Jesus is for you. One of the things I like, it's a top-down look on some of the events of Christmas. And I'm going to tell you what my favorite part of this video is because you might miss it otherwise. My favorite part is the opening shot that looks outwards and then it dips downwards. And just in the change in camera angle, in my head that says, God looked down and entered into creation. God became flesh and entered into history for us. Let's run that video now and then we'll pray afterwards.